And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Acts and chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. And so we'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we have opened your word, your love letter to us, so that we would have the advantage of thinking and understanding while we're looking at it. Help us to understand. Spirit of God, it is your ministry, it is your obligation to us, as it were, to help us understand that which has been written, the scriptures according to your will and word. God, we aren't going to want that we can read them for 1,000 years and never get it. You have to help us to give them life. The words you said it, the words that you speak, that you spoke unto us, that are recorded, the words that I speak unto you are full of life. So God, the life of those words, you are required in your kindness and in your grace to help us understand if we would but want to understand in order to stand fast and firm in your presence. So God, thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of Joshua the Levite, and we just did a reminder of us in light of the Easter and that resurrection, and we were reminded, if we would, that if you're on the wrong side of the cross, you're unsaved. You need to be on the right side of the cross. You need to have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When Christ died on the cross, he took us there to the cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And in order to pay the wages of sin is death, he paid the price. So, we need to be on the right side of the cross, where we understand that we have been pardoned, forgiven, etc. All of those wonderful things. And then the gospel, crucified, buried, and God put him, he's all done with them. He isn't thinking about them, as it were. He isn't talking about them. He's never going to bring them up, as it were. He crucified him, and he's done. And the only thing he's going to say to anyone on planet Earth, from Adam and Eve to the end of the millennium, what are you going to tell them? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You aren't going to talk about my sins and my life? No. I took you to the cross. The cross is finished. I'm done. Now you need to go and be, understand, believe me. So we need to be on the right side of the cross. But we need to also we could be on the wrong side of the resurrection. And we don't appreciate his life. He took my death and your death. And he then rose again to give us his life. So therefore, if I'm on the wrong side of the resurrection, I am pardoned, I'm forgiven, thank God for that, but I don't enjoy his life. Eternal life, John 17:3, is nothing less than to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is to know him. He is eternal life. So we need to be in the right side of the resurrection. And we need to understand God has given us his life. And that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. That isn't even a way to say it, because it's, I have no expression for it. God, you gave us your life, eternal life. You're an awesome person. I don't know, God. That's awesome. So, I'm on the right side of the resurrection, and I have his life. I've received him as my Savior. Wonderful. But I'm on the wrong side of Pentecost. And if I'm on the wrong side of Pentecost, I don't have any power. I can have something, I can have it, but it has no life to it. It has no life. I got it in my pocket, but it has no life, no power. This needs life that I already have. So therefore, I need to be on the right side of Pentecost. And you know, God told them, you need to be on the right side of the Pentecost. Otherwise, literally, the disciples would still be out fishing somewhere. They would have never got there. They didn't have anything. Of all the benefits, they had no reality to their relationship to God until the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. So now, putting that refresher in front of us so that we are reminded, as we're looking at Joshua and coming up here, looking at Joshua's magnificent conquest of the land of Palestine in a way, when in a most awesome kind of way. So, here in Acts chapter 1, and you'll notice, remember they're in the upper room waiting. You don't have to turn there, you know all these things. Luke 24 and verse 24 and all of that. And he said, stay, you wait, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power. Here in Acts, where they're actually waiting, and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, I got to take this out to make it louder. Oh, that's me. Volume. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, Luke chapter 24. Which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, sliding down, if I can, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, that's a different word we're going to look at. It has the two words, right, the right to do something, and the authority to do it. Right and might. Authority. And he has. God, the whole business of the outworking is in God the Father's hands. So now, but, in contrast, verse 8, but all of that's in the hands of God the Father to outwork. But you shall receive power. Power. That's the word we're looking at to remind us how. What were they waiting for? They needed to be on the right side of Pentecost to have the power. Power. And you think of the word dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. All of those different words are English words from this word power. Ability, the ability to do whatever. To make happen whatever, the power to do it. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, not before. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses in a most wonderful, wonderful way, all over the, in as it were. And when? And chapter 2, and in verse 1, and when? The day of Pentecost. Remember what you had you're going to receive power from the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Chapter 2, verse 1. And that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as in a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were waiting, sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the person, God, the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other languages. We shared all those things, so that all the people there would hear at the Passover, etc. That all the people would hear, not the Passover. And all the people would hear, speak in other tongues, languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they would find this out in a most wonderful, wonderful way. The Spirit of God was going to go and give them a unique, wonderful reality. They aren't going to have it without him, but with him, he's going to make it all work. So therefore, as we go over, if you can, to put that together, over to John, the Gospel of John again, chapter 1. Gospel of John and chapter 1. And you know all these things, but just lock onto them. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And God, in his wonderful way, did. When he died on the cross, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, we're able to go and do what? The world doesn't want to know. Verse 10, he was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It didn't care 2 cents about him. His death, his life, his anything. Verse 11, the Jewish people, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him, crucified him. Now he then opens up to whosoever. And as many as received him, to them gave he power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. They need to receive. So what do we need to do? Believers, what could God make possible? The reception, Acts chapter 2, the reception of his marvelous saving grace. What do you mean? Chapter 4, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And God had made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection a unique relationship to his awesome person. And that relationship is to be received. God, look at verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received, there's your word again, grace in place of grace in place of grace, day in, day out, the waves of the ocean crashing in place of grace upon grace, all from the same person, Christ, all because he's full of grace. He is grace. Christ is going to provide. He's the grace. He shows the grace, brings the grace of God, and the grace of he brings to your heart, to the believing heart, grace. Every single second, grace and more grace. He graces your heart with his grace. That's what he does. Now, and we. What did you do? You receive it. You receive it. You don't, you know, John, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy, or girl open the door, I will come in to that person. What do we do to get power? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we receive him. When you came, you're here, we opened the door so you could come in. You walked into the building. You stepped into the building and received the benefits of the building. That's what you did. All you did is go through the door. When you got saved, you opened the door and Christ walked through the door and brought into your heart all his wonderful benefit, all that he's done on Calvary's cross. You didn't do a thing except allow him to be your Lord and Savior, and you received him. That's all you did. All you did is open the door. You didn't tell him to come in. You didn't pull him in. You didn't have a discussion with him. You didn't do anything. You just received him as your Savior. That's what you did. And now that's what you did to receive him. You know, in Colossians, tie it together again. And in Colossians, and in chapter 2, and you'll remember, going directly in the light of everything, verse 6, Colossians 2, 6, as you have therefore received, the same verb, Christ. How did you receive Christ? John 1, 12, I became a child of God. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk, live, walk by faith, day by day, hour by hour, in him. That's how you're going to do it. I have to keep grace upon grace upon grace. God is going to keep being God in his wonderful saving grace. He's going to be providing me, providing the heart with the power, with the life, all that I need. I don't have it, but he is going to give it when I received him. He brought in his wonderful, as we shared this morning, his wonderful person to be your God, for you to enjoy God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so what are you going to do? You live your life. You walk by faith every day. What are you doing for power? You're just receiving him. All you're doing is letting God be God. Now, hang on. Look at verse 6, 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, the body of truth to be believed, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you're looking to God for his wonderful working. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. So take it out of my ear, put it on my eyes, and somehow it does something. Okay. What can I tell you? Now, in the light of that, God's going to go in his wonderful, wonderful grace and go and provide every day. Your life is hid with Christ in God, and God is going to go. You're busy, busy receiving, 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 receiving. Now, hang on to that. Go back in your mind to Joshua for a moment. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4, God told the Joshua and the people, before they crossed the Jordan, he told them, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I've already given it to you. Right? Only that which I've given. They've already been told in Deuteronomy, don't try to take some other piece of property. And when you go to say, boy, is that a nice piece of property? Don't do it. The only property that is yours is when you cross that Jordan. That have I given to you already. You haven't even set foot in it, but it's yours. God, you've given us the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and you've already given us the life that we need. Is it, where else am I looking? I'm not going to look anywhere else. Why? Because you have made it wonderfully possible to know you, the living and only God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So we need to be on the right side of Pentecost for power. They needed to be in the land to possess it. Now, keep in mind that when you received him as your Savior, in the process of outliving and outworking that your relationship to God, you're not trusting in or counting on your decision. I did that. Don't trust that. You did it. You know you did it. Don't look at that. And you're trusting in, don't be trusting in and counting on your belief. I believe. I believe. Didn't I believe back then? Didn't I believe? See, don't count on that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Not trusting in and counting on your understanding, my understanding. I'm going to trust my understanding. Okay, trust my understanding. Don't do that. You're trusting God. Trusting God. And don't complicate it by letting your mind and heart work it out where somehow that your flesh will glory in his presence. What do you know when you got saved? You had to live on the right side of the cross where you what? Died. Reckon yourself dead indeed. Dead. Don't even bring it up. I'm done with it. But God, no, and then God would tap you on the shoulder and say, no. No flesh shall glory in my presence at all. The flesh can, Romans 8, the flesh can not please God. The flesh is totally unprofitable. And we keep trying to bring ourselves in to understand. I understand this way and that way. And then you're getting yourself involved. And when you do, you're going to lose what? Because you didn't make it. It isn't your life. You didn't die. Christ did. And it was a gift of God. And you believed. And God gave you his life. And therefore, you don't want to go and get involved in it, in that which I, looking upon my own self, my beliefs. My beliefs are the effects of my relationship. And I want to make sure I understand I'm resting in God. Where's the power going to come from? Where's the life going to come from? It's going to come from the Spirit of God in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's awesomeness, so we have a witness. We're to witness to the reality of the relationship. It's a unique, awesome, wonderful, wonderful relationship that we're to have. The vine and the branch. We're to be abiding in his wonderful person and presence. And therefore, as we're looking to God, as we wait for God, we're going to discover what? When we received him as our Savior, in the light of our old nature, Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. Only you can do it. And in Romans and chapter 1, if I can. And picking up, if I may, Romans 1, and picking up, please, in verse 18. You know it. For the wrath of God... Well, I got to do that. Verse 16, to get my power. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is that's the word, Acts 1:8, power. You shall receive power. The gospel, the good news, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changing the glory of God into glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So God, what are we looking at? You're going to go, and we're looking at your wonderful grace. And verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or fitting. So God, earthen vessels, but we didn't want to believe. What did the difference mean? It's foolishness that we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has given us a wonderful, wonderful relationship to his wonderful person. And in the process, God has brought to us his wonderful fullness. And in his fullness, his freshness, his holiness. We have a wonderful relationship to God simply by faith. We're going to trust you, God, for you to be all that you are. That's why we read your word and want to understand it, so that I know you, so that we know you better. We know what you like, we know what you want, and we're looking to you to outwork it. So here we are, God, and you're wonderful, having this relationship, eternal relationship, a relationship to God which is at once personal, it's practical, it's profitable, it's pleasing, it's permanent, your relationship. Say it again. It's practical, profitable, pleasing, personal, eternal, permanent. It's a relationship. That's why you have eternal life. That's why you can't die. You can die physically, but you can't die spiritually. You just can't do that. You can't do it now. So hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, and we're your witnesses. And so the verb, we're witnessing. And remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall be my witnesses. You want out there going up and down the street handing out tracts. There's a place for that in given time. But that isn't what it's saying. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you're mine. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're mine. You're mine. And I'm going to set you out here in the middle of Main Street. You're my witness. And I'm in your heart to give you my life. And my life is going to be your life. And I'm going to give you my life so that you can live that ordinary eating and drinking, coming and going in an extraordinary way. I'm going to give you my life in the midst of the people that need to believe. You're my witness, and you have the power to live it. Where's the power come from? I don't have any. God said, I have the power. I am the power. You want the power, and you don't generate the power. You want having a system to generate electricity or something. You're not doing that. No. God is the power. God said, I am the power. We're in the presence of God. And God can do whatever he wants. But right now on planet Earth, he's knocking at the door and trying to nicely be a witness. The only way he's going to be a witness, the sign of the prophet Jonah, he's going to be God in your heart. And the only thing I'm going to show the world is your little old life out in the middle of the street. That's what I'm going to show them. Because they rejected me and are rejecting me, and I'm only, the only thing I'm going to show them is you. Is you. You bring God to your work, to your kitchen, wherever you go. Wherever you go, God goes. And God, and just all this, that's all God's going to show. God's going to show your ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's what he's going to do. In a wonderful way. And people are going to ask the reason for the hope that's in you. 1 Peter 3:15. Why is it? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to catch that, sorry, lose it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And just all over the place to do it, to see it. God's wonderful, wonderful working. So therefore, in 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 1, and you'll catch it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and going to verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us believers. Remember, you're going to have power. What is power? You need life. How am I going to enjoy the life of God, the benefits of God in my heart, and all of his wonderful person and saving grace? I'm going to have to trust the Spirit of God has to help me. So, we go through whatever. The only thing he's going to show the world is God himself in you. You're his witness, like a sign on the road. You're his witness, pointing in the right direction. And so the only thing he's going to see is you. Now, thus, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able, there's your little word, power, dynamite, etc., dynamo, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able. Now, how did it ever happen? To comfort all them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God's providing what? An encouragement. And so you go, whatever you do in your life, and people have things, and say, I've been through there. I know what that is. Or you could be having the same flu bug that everyone else has, and you're able to be trusting God in it. That's what you're doing. Who comforts us in all our tribulation? So when you're with the believer is full of hope, full of expectancy, and God is going to encourage him that don't worry, the measles will go away. You know, don't worry about everything. You're trusting me. And God's going to show that. So that what is he showing? I'm trusting God, looking to God. I'm not going to complain and mumble and grumble about it like Israel did. I don't want to do that. So we're trusting God. That's what we're doing. And the same problems, the same pain, the same everything, but we're trusting God. God's going to get us through it. People see that. That's what people see. Because they don't have that. They don't have anything what you're talking about. They have no great assurance. I have a wonderful relationship to God that never can be stopped. I have a relationship called eternal life in Christ. You don't have to say all that because they won't know what you're talking about. But you're looking to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And as you keep reading, that's what you're saying. God, you're saying we've got to go through whatever in the way we're going through it. And God, you're going to have to help us in every way as we go through it, as it happens in our life. You have to go and do that. So In the light of that, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, doing it again a little different way here in Ephesians, and in chapter 1. And in chapter 1, you'll remember in Ephesians, God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And God has given us. So when we talk about our wonderful inheritance, we're to be, verse 12, chapter 1, we're to be to the praise of his glory, and who first trusted in Christ. And now God, how is it going to work out for us? Well, we've been forgiven. We got all of that. Verse 1, 7 and all of that. Now, slide over if I can to verse 19. God giving us a wonderful, wonderful hope of all. Verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? God, what are you doing? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Church, the body of believers, which is his body. And now, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God, in Christ the head, is full of God. All of God's magnificence, he is God. And the believing heart, when you receive him as your Savior, God in your heart is God. God in Christ. We just did that this morning. God in Christ in you. What? In all of his fullness. And we shared this 10,000 times over the years. You can't have any more of God than you've got right now if you're saved. You can't have any more. No. You can certainly learn and have it blossom like a garden in your heart, but you can't have any more. You'll have an awesome experience when your body is taken into the ground and you go before him. But all you're doing is discovering that's what God's trying to do a different way. The Gospel of John. I don't want to leave this. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 22. You are my witnesses, and all the world is to pay attention to you. And by the way, as my Father sent me, so send I you. You're going to go just like I did. I'm crucified, risen, seated at the right hand of God, and you are here on earth, representing me as the body. The head's in heaven, the body's on earth, part of it, representing me. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind as represent God, looking to you in the most wonderful way. So here we are going down the corridor of time, and as we're going down, looking to for your wonderful grace to outwork itself. And God, you're going to be in us. And John 17, 22, I'm going to give you my glory. John 17, 22, I give you my glory. And then another two verses, and then he says, listen, do you know what I gave you? I gave you my glory right now on planet Earth. Do you understand? Boy, God said, I know you don't understand that. Two verses later, 24. I'm waiting for you to get here to see the glory of who I am that I gave you. I gave you who I am, my life. And you're going to have to get to heaven to understand what I did in your heart. You're going to have to get there. I gave you my glory. I gave you my power. I gave you my life. You're going to have to get there. Do you understand what I gave you? That's what we're after. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What are you talking about? You're talking about something wonderful. But God, we don't see it. No, you have to have it by faith. And look to me. I'm going to be God. I'm going to be God. When you go to bed tonight, you look out in the room, God's God. When you get up, God's God. The weather changes, sun rises and sets. Yep, but he's a God. Now, God, what are we doing? The world doesn't care and doesn't believe, so therefore, all you're doing is looking for whosoever's that might believe, and you're causing us to be your witnesses. So back in Ephesians, in Ephesians, well, at least one more, Ephesians chapter 3, I know you didn't get too much, but I hope you got a little bit. God, Ephesians chapter 3, and going, if I can, over to verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that's the glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. It isn't gonna, I'm not going to do it, and you're not going to do it. God does it. So the power, the life that I need to understand and enjoy, God has to do it. So it isn't going to be my anything. It's just going to be, we're going to walk by faith, and we're going to keep receiving God's wonderful grace to enjoy his wonderful glory. That's what he's going to do. Now, having said that, verse 16, be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man, sliding down if I can. Read it. Verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness. And over you're going to read, full, the fullness of God, the fullness of God, the fullness of God, the allness. God, why don't you use little words? I mean, stingy words. He doesn't. All. He multiplies. He doesn't add. He multiplies. Everything he does, what he does, he's generous. He's generous. He doesn't say, give me a quarter. Here's a quarter. No, God gives whatever you need to the extent you need it. And sometime, Philippians chapter 4, God helps you. Your need to trust me, so I take it all away and make you trust me. I take it all away, so you have to trust me. You lost your relationship. I'm going to let you go stumble around a while to get back to it. Therefore, wonderfully closing verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. You don't write sentences like that. able. There's your able. And again, hang on to that, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, like Abel, same word, the power that worketh where? In your heart. And you have to trust God. That's what you're going to do. And look to God, and God's going to go in his most wonderful way. So in the time of trouble and testing, what are you doing? You're looking to God to give you what? His grace. What's he going to do with his grace? He's going to glorify himself and show what? You have a wonderful life. You sweat and bleed, and at the same time, you have a perfect body, a perfect life, I should say, a perfect relationship to God that allows you to enjoy your imperfect relationship to the world around you. So you're able to go and trust God with all your heart and to be a partaker of his person in a most wonderful way. So power, you need to be on the right side of Pentecost. That's what you need to be. Otherwise the church is sort of dead. Is not sort of, it is dead. The church has no life. You can sing, you have 10,000 in the choir and do whatever you want. You have no life. No life. Apart from the Spirit of God, you don't have any life. Boy, do we do a lot of say a lot of good things. You may, but you don't have any life. Only on the right side of Pentecost. Apart from that, you don't have any. I don't care whatever the conditions are. It's required. What's required? You can't enjoy the wonderful benefits of his death, burial, and resurrection. You can't enjoy the awesome benefits of the gospel apart from the Spirit of God. It just isn't going to happen. And so, God, we're looking to you to help us. And it isn't going to be because we believe or we're sincere as can be. Sincere. No. No. It's just going to be because we're smart enough to believe God and trust him. And when God says, you can't do it, without me you can do what? John 15:5. Abide in me and I in you. Without me you can do nothing. What do you think nothing means? Well, we're going to change it. No, you're not. No, you're not. Nothing means nothing. You need to trust me. You can't enjoy God without God. That makes sense? You can't enjoy God without God. You can't do it. You can't enjoy the water that you drink to quench your thirst without drinking it. And when you receive the water, you'll receive the benefit of the water. When you receive Christ, you already have the benefit. And you aren't going to have it without the water. You aren't going to have it without God. You've got to include God. I'm reading the word. I got to include God into it. Otherwise, it won't work. It won't work. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Lord to God, God help us. Spirit of God, I just stumble along here. So you got to help us. Oh, you got to help us understand and exercise and enjoy your awesome person presence as we honor and understand and enjoy your wonderful saving grace. Our Lord, we thank you. Thank you very, very much. So, Father, here we are. And God, with all the words and all the things that are said and could be done, we just can't replace you, period. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.